Let's turn in our Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 through 22, 11 verses, but they're probably the shortest 11 verses in the Bible. So, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
And let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. From the book of 1 Thessalonians, the word of God says this, starting in verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always tries to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Let's pray. Father, a lot of verses, a lot of great instruction there from you as you inspired the Apostle Paul to write this. Father, there's things in here that we need to address here this morning, and they're going to be addressed in the way that we communicate as brothers and sisters in Christ to each other, to a lost world, and even how we communicate with you. So, Father, this morning, as we continue in this journey on taming the tongue, open up our hearts and our minds to the truths that we all need to learn from the scripture lesson here this morning. May the scriptures speak to each and every one of us. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Okay, I will admit, sometimes I have difficulty keeping my promises. I said that this sermon series on taming the tongue was only going to be 3 weeks, and this is week number 4. And I know there's going to be 2 more after this. So, forgive me ahead of time, okay? Forgive me. We're going to continue this sermon series on taming the tongue. And today's message I have titled, Communicating Encouraging Words. If we were to look back at James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, which we were into a couple weeks ago, we are told that our tongues, our words of communication, James says this, they can either be praises to the Lord, or in that with that same tongue we can curse human beings. And he says this, out of the same tongue, out of the same mouth can come praising and can come cursing. And James concludes and says this, can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. How can we do this one time and be this really good Christian and speak these really good things when sometimes this creeps up over here on this side? And we don't want this to happen. And we concluded this also. We can communicate either by word of mouth, which things that we speak, or by any other form of communication. We talked about that. We have electronic communication out there. It comes in all varieties of forms. And each one of those, we need to check. We need to check ourselves before we speak. We need to check ourselves before we hit post. And we need to check ourselves before we hit that send button on our email. Why do we need to check ourselves before we send these things out, before we speak? This is where we're going to focus here today. Because our witness as Christians to an unbelieving world is crucial. God bless you. Jesus Christ living inside us must be reflected not only in our actions, But in our words, the things that we speak, the things that we post, the things that we send, all of our ways of communication, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We need to be separate. There needs to be something different about us as Christians. Jesus said these three things. Quick review. He said, one, that our words are the overflow of our hearts. He said, two, what's in our hearts is our treasure. And he said this, number three, we will be acquitted or we will be condemned by our words, the words that we speak. So who we really are will flow out of our words. So we all need to ask ourselves, who are we really? Who are we? 2 weeks ago, we discussed the words that we should not say. Words that are hurtful to God, words that are hurtful to others, be they Christians or not Christians, and words that hurt our witness as Christians. And a quick review, they were this: foolish talk, taking the Lord's name in vain, obscenities, coarse joking, deceitful talk, false testimony, in other words, telling lies, slander and gossip. We need to put all those things aside because those are things that the Bible speaks about that we shouldn't be speaking about. We should not use those forms of talk. Well, that was the negative side of the tongue. And today we're going to cover the positive side. We're going to kind of be a little on the uplifting side this morning. Things and words that we should be speaking. Now, in your bulletin this morning, we have a whole bunch of words that we need to fill in these blanks. I gave you the first letter of a whole bunch of these words, and maybe you have already have them all figured out, and that's okay, but we're going to go over them here this morning. The first one comes from Psalm 145, verse 21, and the psalm says this: my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Well, it's pretty obvious. What's Psalm 145:21 teaching us? Praise to the Lord. That's going to be one of the things that should come out of our mouth. Praise to the Lord. One of the most fulfilling acts that we can speak is praises to the Lord. Because here's one good reason. We can never be doing the wrong thing when we are speaking to the Lord in praise to the Lord. But then that leads us to a rather obvious question. How often do we speak to the Lord? Only when we are in trouble? Only when we need Him? Only when we want something to go our way? We need to take time every day to speak praises to the Lord, because I believe each and every one of us does have something we could praise Him for. The next one, the first one is praise the Lord. The next three actually come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. One begins with the word R, one the letter P, and the other one G and T. Very obvious. It's right from word, right out of the Bible. It says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what are the next three things? How can we communicate either through our words, the words that we speak, or through the other ways of communication? R, we can rejoice. We can let other people know that we're rejoicing. P, we can pray. We can be praying to God, let others know that we pray. And GT, we can let others know that we give thanks to God. When we are in communication with God through rejoicing, through praying, or through giving thanks, we can never, ever, ever be speaking discouraging words about other people who can sometimes really get under our skin. Now, I don't think I'm the only one in here. Do other people ever get under your skin? If you drive an automobile, other people get under your skin, okay? And do you ever notice the other driver's always in the wrong? It's never me, is it? Never me, no. So we got those three things. We can rejoice, we can pray, we can give thanks. Next, so in other words, when you meet that other driver that pulled out in front of you or failed to use his or her turn signal, rejoice in the Lord. That'd be a good thing to do. Next, 1 Thessalonians verse 14. We read that earlier. It tells us to do four things. It says this. Number one, it says to admonish the idle. Number two, it says to encourage the timid or the faint-hearted, depending on what translation Bible you have. Both words mean the same. Three, I'm going to use the word faint-hearted for that. Number three, help the weak. And four, be patient with them all. So I want to take number two there, encourage the faint-hearted. And I'm going to use that in conjunction with number four, be patient with them all. So I'm going to say this, that 1 Corinthians 5:14 tells us this. We need to encourage the faint-hearted, the timid, with patience. And that's where I'm going to kind of go with the remainder of this message here this morning. Encouraging the faint-hearted with patience. Let's kind of put that back up here on our clipboard. Now I'm going to combine that with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, which tells us this. Speak only such as is good for building up. Speak only such as is good for building up. Our words need to build each other up. The book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. He's telling Christians how they should act. Who do we need to build up? Well, first and foremost, we need to build each other up. We need to build each other up as Christians. So we've identified that. Who are we building up? We're building up Christians. What kind of Christians? The faint-hearted Christians. That's what we're going to talk about here this morning. Or the timid. Call them what you want. Why? Because the faint-hearted are other Christians who lack courage and resolution. Let's face it, as Christians, not everybody is real strong in the Lord. There are some weaker sisters and brothers in Christ. And for those individuals, the Bible tells us here in 1 Thessalonians, we need to build those individuals up. We need to encourage them. So let's go to our first dotted fill in the blank here that starts off with words that build up. So let's fill in those two blanks. Words that build up and encourage contribute to the discipleship process of a Christian. Contribute to the discipleship process of a Christian. And then the next sentence kind of helps us define that. Discipleship is the maturing process in a Christian. When Christians are disciples, we are not only built up, but we become more Christ-like. And that is going to be the challenge of all Christians. One Christian needs to build up the other by encouraging. Why? Because we all need to become more Christ-like in some way. So discipleship is part of this maturing process. So what can we speak to other Christians that can help them become more Christ-like? Well, words that build up come in many different forms. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 tells us that a Christian can teach and train another Christian in an effort to build them up. Now, if I was to say, I want to teach and train you, you would say, okay, teach me and train me. But in that same verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, it says this, other ways that we can build each other up is we can rebuke and correct other Christians in order to build them up. If you're human like I am, you don't mind being taught and trained, but you kind of don't like being rebuked and corrected sometimes. But it's all part of the building up process. But for today, again, we're just going to look at it from a positive standpoint. So how do we look at this? We're going to focus on the word encourage. Encourage in an effort to build up other Christians. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, there's a short list of spiritual gifts. Now granted, if you're going to look up a list of spiritual gifts, probably the first place you'll go would be 1 Corinthians 12. But Romans 12, 3 through 8, gives you another little list. One such gift, in verse number 8, is the gift of what the Bible calls exhortation or encouragement. Some Bibles use the term encouragement. Some use the word exhortation. So what does it mean to encourage somebody? If I want to encourage you, or you want to encourage me, or you want to encourage another person, what does that mean? To encourage means this: to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope. So if I want to encourage you, that means that I'm going to inspire you with courage, spirit, and hope, to put hope into your life. So the obvious question then becomes this: can our words as Christians to other Christians inspire these other Christians in a good way? Is there something that I can say to you that will inspire you or encourage you in some way? The obvious answer is yes, and yes, and yes, of course. What would be the best words that we could use to inspire others? Well, I mean, I could go on up to Donna and say, "Oh, Donna, have a nice day." And I guess that might be encouraging and maybe a little inspiring. But the most inspiring words we could ever use would be words right from the Word of God. We could use those. Because what will the Word of God do in the life of a Christian? Answer: it will build up the faint-hearted, those who need courage and resolution in their lives. And that's what we want to do. Remember, every Christian is at a different level. Some are very strong, and some are not as strong. We want to help build up those who aren't as mature, those who are not as strong, so they can be built up in their faith. So let's conclude this by looking at four different encouraging verses from the book of Proverbs that clearly demonstrate encouraging words and contribute to the disciple process in the life of another Christian. And it'll be our second little bullet right here. And you'll notice that we have four blanks to fill in. One word begins with the letter F, the letter L, the letter G, and the letter H. And maybe you have these figured out, and I hope you do. But let's go through them. Proverbs 10:21a says this: we're looking for a word that begins with the letter F. The lips of the righteous nourish many. That's what the proverb said. The lips of the righteous nourish many. So this verse, what would be the F word? This verse shows us that we can feed others by our kind and encouraging words. What are we going to feed them? Well, like I said, I could tell somebody to have a nice day, but I could also encourage them and feed them with the Word of God, and that's what we want to do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 instructs us to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. So by feeding the Word of God to others, we can initiate this process of discipleship, of building up other Christians who so much need encouragement in their lives. So we're going to feed others the Word of God. So what's going to be the result of that? Let's look at the next word coming from Proverbs 16:21. The proverb says this: the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Promote instruction. So what would our word be? This verse shows us that others can learn from our kind and encouraging and pleasant words. What are they going to learn? They're going to learn exactly what we're feeding them. They're going to learn the Word of God. Because we want those who lack courage or resolution, the faint-hearted, we want them to learn all about the wonderful promises of God. And we can do that through our words. So, first two so far, we feed others so others can learn. Let's go to our third word, which is going to begin with the letter G. Proverbs 10, verse 11a, it says this: the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. This verse shows us that others will grow. There's our G word, will grow from the words of life that we share with them. Isn't that what Jesus did with his disciples for over 3 years? They grew in wisdom and knowledge of the Lord because that was the words that he presented to them day in and day out. His words were a fountain of life. And that hasn't changed. His words were a fountain of life to his disciples 2,000 years ago, and they are a fountain of life to us again today. And what are we going to do when we drink out of that fountain? We are going to grow in the Lord. So we feed others so they can learn, so they can grow. And that leads us to one last word that's going to begin with the letter H. And as I read this verse out of Proverbs, I know you'll figure it out. The Proverbs 16:24 says this: pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. This verse shows us that the faint-hearted can heal and move on from their trying times with courage and with resolution. Healing. There's a lot of Christians in this world today. Well, there's a lot of people, but let's keep the focus on Christians. There's a lot of Christians in this world today that need healing. I am very honored to be part of this reboot program that is going on right here in Nelson County up at the Rockfish Valley Community Center. Most of you know about it. I told you a little bit about it. It's a program for military veterans who are suffering from PTSD. And let's face it, when people are suffering with PTSD, they sometimes and quite often need courage and they need resolution in their lives. Why am I a part of this program? Because when I got the leader's guide and I looked at it, the program is totally, totally based on the Word of God. Every lesson, it has scripture in it. And it's almost like you can even ask Lilia. Lilia and Kate brought dinner to our group this past Tuesday night, and Lilia stayed around for the lesson. It's almost like a Bible study, really, is what it is. Because that's where the healing is going to come from. The healing is not going to come from a little white pill, although little white pills can do really good things, trust me. But if you want the ultimate healing, if you want your soul that has been wounded to be healed, that's only going to come from one place. That's going to come from the Word of God. And the ultimate goal of that program is to heal from a spiritual wound. We talk about this. We know that we've been wounded physically. We know we've been wounded mentally. But most people don't realize that they have also been wounded spiritually. Christians have been wounded spiritually. They have these things that have happened in their past that they just can't get out of their mind. Seems like Satan keeps on hitting rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play. We need to speak encouraging words into the lives of people who are going through such things so we can bring courage and resolution into their lives. We want to feed others so they can learn, so they can grow, so they can be healed. And it's all made possible through the Word of God. And it's the process of discipleship. The Christian becomes more Christ-like. And I don't know if the people attending the reboot program know this or not, but it's really, do you want to become a Christian? If they're not already a Christ follower, I think there's a very good chance that by the end of the program, they will become a Christ follower because they will understand and realize that's the only place where there's really any hope. I'm going to tell this quick little story. I know I've told it before because people have repeated this back to me. But my daughter, when she was 14 years old, had a very strong desire to learn how to drive a car. And bear with me, because I know I've told this story before. She would do everything to get behind that wheel of that car, but of course at 14, you can't. But I would let her start the car. So at that time, she had recently given her life to Christ, which I was very proud of. And it was one morning before I was going to go to work. And she said, "Dad, can I start the car?" Sure. She knew where the keys were. We had a Ford Escort station wagon. It was a stick shift. So she goes out there in the driveway and she starts the car. And I was rather pleased that she did, because it was a cold morning and she could get the car warmed up. So by the time I got in it, it was ready to go. So all of a sudden, I hear my daughter screaming, "Oh no, oh no." Now, I thought my driveway was level. I know my backyard is not level. The car was slowly drifting backwards. She had failed to put the emergency brake on, and the car was going backwards. And both her and me and my wife Gail all ran out the front door at the same time. We get up to the driveway. What are we going to do? Get behind it and stop it? By the time we look at it, it's starting to go down the backyard. There it goes. What do you do? Except say goodbye to your Ford Escort, which is slowly going down the backyard. Luckily, I live in a subdivision, and luckily, the people behind me have a chain link fence. So the car hit the chain link fence. So my daughter, what does she start doing? She starts just crying and crying. "Oh, I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry, Dad." And what an opportunity to either speak discouraging words and make her feel really, really bad, even worse than what she already felt, or speak words of encouragement and take a situation that, okay, the car ran into the fence, and make it a little bit better. So we get down there and I look at it, and the fence was buckled a little bit. Didn't seem to be any damage to the car. It was still running and warmed up, which was nice. So she's all apologetic. So what do you say? "Carrie, if this is the worst thing that's going to happen to you today, you're going to have a really good day. Don't worry about this. We'll take care of this." We have a choice, don't we? We're all put in situations where we can either be totally discouraging or we could be encouraging. I don't know how my daughter may have turned out because of that one event. Had I sent her to her room or smacked her with a switch or did whatever another parent may have done. I gave her a hug, told her that I loved her. And I'm convinced that if more parents would have made those choices in their lives, these kids would not be eating Tide Pods and doing the things that they are doing. We all have those opportunities. How are we going to handle them? I say we need to do this. And actually, it's this whole sermon series that has taught me to do this. To ask for godly wisdom before we get into a situation. When we know there might be a confrontation, and maybe it's something that comes up very spontaneously. Somebody says something and you need to have an immediate response. I strongly suggest you go to the Lord, wait, ask for wisdom, and then speak. Or maybe even the Holy Spirit will be telling you, "Mike, don't say anything. Don't say anything." One last fill in the blank. We have something from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 15. And I'm going to put my glasses on here so I can read that for you here real quick. And it's, you probably know what this word is going to be. This word is going to start off with the letter S. And it says this: "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Praise the Lord. Great news. But then he goes on to say this: "Well, how then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless someone is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Our fill in the blank says this: The words that we speak can be eternal by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it. So far, this whole message this morning, we've been talking about encouraging words to build up other Christians. And that is very important. But what about the unbeliever? Let's start off by doing this. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with an unbelieving world. They need to hear that. And we have not only a responsibility to do that, but we have a great commission from Matthew chapter 28 that says, go into all the nations and make disciples of all nations. So we can share the gospel with an unbelieving world so they too can believe in the same Savior that we believe in. So to conclude real quick, our words, our tongues can put forth encouraging words, not only discouraging words, but encouraging words. We can praise the Lord. We can rejoice. We can pray. We can give thanks. We can exhort and we can encourage other believers, and we can share the gospel in a dark and lost world. Speaking words of encouragement will give us credibility as our witness and our testimony to the people out there who don't want to buy into the faith that we have. But we're going to share that faith. We're going to share it in an encouraging way, and we're going to change the lives of others. We're going to build each other up in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to encourage the faint-hearted because they need encouragement and resolution. Let's go to God in prayer.